Monday, July 21st. Memorial of St. Lawrence of Brindisi. The Epistle from the Second Letter of St. Paul to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Dearly beloved, I charge thee before God and Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, by his coming and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, entreat, rebuke in all patience and doctrine. For there shall be a time when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires they will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and will indeed turn away their hearing from the truth, but will be turned unto fables. But be thou vigilant, labor in all things, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry, be sober. For I am even now ready to be sacrificed, and the time of my dissolution is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. As to the rest, there is laid up for me a crown of justice, which the Lord, the just judge, will render to me in that day, and not only to me, but to them also that love his coming. Haydock Commentary. Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, that is, all those that have been dead for so many ages since the beginning of the world, and the living, those who shall be found living at the end of the world, but who shall die and be presently raised again. In season, out of season, that is, whether the hearers are willing to hearken to thee or not, or, as others understand it, whether it be convenient or inconvenient for thee, to signify that the ministers of God must not desist from preaching whatever troubles they are under. Having itching ears, that is, the hearers have itching ears, running after novelties and such doctrine as favors their passions. Be thou vigilant. It may either be expounded, watch in all things, or take pains in all things. The latter seems the true construction. I am even now ready to be sacrificed, literally to be immolated. The time of my dissolution is at hand. This makes many judge that this letter was written during his last imprisonment. But the sense perhaps may be that, being old and worn out with labors, he would not live much longer. A crown of justice which the Lord the just judge will render to me. These words confirm the Catholic doctrine that good works performed with the assistance of God's grace deserve and are meritorious of a reward in heaven. It is what is signified first by a crown of justice, second from a just judge, third, which he will render or give as a reward. Yet we admit with St. Augustine that we have no merit but what is also a gift of God from his grace and mercy, and grounded on his promises. St. Augustine says, "How should he repay as a just judge unless he had first given as a merciful father?" The Gospel from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 19. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt lose its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing any more but to be cast out and to be trodden on by men. You are the light of the world. A city seated on a mountain cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but upon a candlestick, that it may shine to all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For amen, I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not pass of the law till all be fulfilled. He therefore that shall break one of these least commandments and shall so teach men shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But he that shall do and teach, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." From the Great Commentary of Cornelius a Lapide. You ask, why does Christ call his apostles the salt of the earth rather than the gold or silver or precious stones? I answer, because salt is a thing universally necessary and useful. Salt is, as it were, the balsam of nature, which preserves and seasons almost all things with which it is mixed and keeps them from corruption. Salt denotes the office, power, and dignity of the apostles, for salt is the symbol of wisdom. For as salt seasons food and makes it savory, so does wisdom season the mind and make it wise. Thus in Latin, a foolish man is called a man without salt, or insulsus, unsalted, according to the verse of Catullus, "Not one grain of salt in so big a body." The apostles therefore were salt because they corrected the unsavory morals of the world and made them wise and savory. Salt flavors insipid food, and by its pungency renders it pleasant and wholesome. Thus the apostles have amended the insipid and foolish opinions, mistakes, and customs of men by their forcible language, and made them pleasing to God and the angels. As salt penetrates flesh and preserves it from corruption by drying up the humors by which flesh is corrupted, so have the apostles taken away from the minds of men the corruption of fleshly concupiscences, and preserved them for the immortality of everlasting incorruption. So Cicero says, "What hath a sow besides its flesh?" Thus to men who, like sows, were wallowing in flesh and blood, God hath given the apostles, as it were, salt and a soul, which might spiritually animate them, lest they should putrefy. Salt excites thirst, so the apostles have excited a thirst for heavenly things. St. Hilary says, "The apostles are the preachers of heavenly things, and, as it were, sowers of eternity. They bring immortality to all upon whom their speech is sprinkled." Euthymius says, "Ye have been chosen by me to cure all the putridity of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world, that you may, by the light of your doctrine and evangelical life, illuminate the world obscured by the darkness of errors and sins." So says St. Hilary. St. John Chrysostom says, "For this purpose hath he chosen us, that we should be as lights and act as leaven, that as angels we should be conversant with men on earth, that we should act as men with boys, as spiritual with those who are carnal. The sun is in heaven, but from thence it disperses its rays upon the earth. So do thou be with thy mind in heaven, whilst thy body is on earth, that thou mayest by thy conversation and the example of thy virtue illuminate, warm, and kindle it. So shalt thou be a light and a sun to the world." Chrysostom also adds something to be pondered deeply. "Assuredly there would be no heathen," he says, "if we Christians took care to be what we ought to be, if we obeyed God's precepts, if we bore injuries without retaliation, if when cursed we blessed, if we rendered good for evil. For no man is so savage a wild beast that he would not run forthwith to the worship of the true religion if he saw all Christians acting as I have said. And that you may learn that this is so, consider how many one Paul drew to the knowledge of God. If we were all like him, how many worlds might we not be able to win?" Christ does not mean that all the commandments of the law are very small, but that he should be condemned who should break one of even its smallest precepts, or, like the Pharisees, pervert them by a false interpretation, as by teaching, for example, that only outward adultery, not inward concupiscence, was forbidden by the law. We must observe also in this place that commandment is to be taken strictly for a weighty precept binding under the penalty of mortal sin, like the Ten Commandments. For he who shall break one such commandment, although the least in the Decalogue, shall surely be condemned, unless he repent. He shall be called least in the kingdom of God, that is, shall be accounted the least, shall be looked upon as vile, shall be had in contempt by God and the holy angels as the last of men, and altogether unworthy to be admitted into the kingdom of heaven, but to be damned and cast into hell. Wherefore St. John Chrysostom and Theophylactus interpret least to mean not at all, because in heaven there are none who are not great. As St. Augustine says, "All kings of heaven, sons of God."